Good morning and welcome to Christ Church Uniting. I am Reverend Brittany Alexander, interim minister here at CCU. Thank you for joining us. We are delighted that you have tuned in to worship with us today. As we begin, I light a candle for you and for me, a symbol of the light of love in you and in me, which unites us and brings us together even though we are apart. Join me in prayer. As we connect to that which is greater than ourselves, we are humbled and soothed by mystery. Mysterious God, mysterious life, awaken us to the beauty which surrounds us. May we be open to new experiences, open to what we do not know. Give us the courage to shed our need to earn a worth that is already ours. May we recognize the same worth in the people, places, and living creatures around us. Give us the grace to allow unpleasant truths to do the necessary work of growth in our lives. May it be so. Amen. Peace of Christ to you this day. I invite you to share a peace emoji or a heart emoji, whatever way that says peace of Christ to you. Share it in the chat now. We know that the peace of Christ unites us beyond these walls and virtual screens. Peace of Christ to you, my friends. And now let us join our hearts and voices in our opening hymn. And now, if there are any kiddos out there who are watching, come close. Auntie Beth has a word she'd like to share with us today.
Hi, friends. I wonder if any of you have a favorite quilt or blanket that you like to snuggle up in. I know I do. This is a quilt that my mom helped make with some of her friends at her church many years ago. I just love it because not only can I snuggle up in it, but I can look at the beauty of it and also touch something that my mom had made. And the patchwork, meaning lots of different colors and shapes, patterns of the fabric that go into a quilt, really inspire me to think about our church family, and how it's always a welcoming of lots of different talents and personalities and responsibilities that all come together in a really loving and welcoming way. And so I challenge you, if you have a picture of you with a favorite quilt or blanket that you want to share with our church family to remind us how we all come together in a beautiful patchwork way, please send that in. It'd be fun to see that. Please join me in prayer. Dear loving and creative God, thank you for quilts. Thank you for the beauty that comes together from lots of different patterns, shapes, personalities. Thank you for our church family and bless the week ahead. Amen.
Thank you, Beth, for that word for us today. And now I invite you to receive a special music offering from our CCU ensemble.
Our scripture reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 30, the rejection of Jesus in Nazareth. Listen to these words of scripture, and in them, the Spirit's word to you. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Diane. Let us now continue our worship through the word. In 1939, Billie Holiday recorded the song "Strange Fruit." As the story goes, Billie tested this song before an audience in Harlem at Cafe Society. She sang, "Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees." When the final note finished reverberating through the club, there was only a stunned and shocked silence. Then two hands clapped together, then four, then eight, until the audience rose to their feet in tears and applause. Another powerful singer, Nina Simone, would later remark, "That is the ugliest song I have ever heard. Ugly in the sense that it is violent and tears at the guts of what white people have done to my people in this country." Billie Holiday's regular recording label, Columbia Records, refused to record Strange Fruit, meaning Billie had to find another label to produce it, which she did. As Billie began to sing this song at other venues, it was all too common for white folks to get up and leave in the middle of her performance. So they did not have to hear any song about strange fruit. Strange fruit and songs like it have long been a tool of protest. It is a way to tell a story that powerfully gets at the reality of a situation and communicates profound emotion. A way to tap into the humanity of another in hopes that the cry of the heart will be heard. In the first century, on a Sabbath day, in the temple, someone hands Jesus a scroll, and it is a poem from Isaiah. Jesus reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the captives and recovery of sight for the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus sits down and says, "The scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And the people in the temple are sort of happy with this. "Oh, great! That doesn't really require anything of me. Awesome. Joseph's kid really grew up, didn't he? He's always been a good kid. You know, I mean, there was that one time that he got lost in Jerusalem and his parents couldn't find him, but other than that, such a good kid. And how he reads that scroll, so eloquent. Such interesting things Jesus has to say." Maybe that's not quite the response that Jesus was looking for. Maybe the people didn't really get it. But for whatever reason, Jesus takes this opportunity to double down. He could have just let it be, but he didn't. Instead, Jesus reaches into a dark corner of the proverbial closet and pulls out a couple of skeletons. "Hey, remember that time in the middle of a drought and famine when only a Gentile widow gave aid to our beloved prophet Elijah? We like to venerate him, but remember how actually his own people didn't help him or listen to him? Or hey, remember when the prophet Elisha could have been called upon to heal and help the community, but people acted like he didn't exist? Remember how the king didn't even know Elisha?" A prophet is never welcome in his hometown. After this, the people chase Jesus into the outskirts of town to a place where they can push him off a cliff. Why? Well, Jesus, he's not wrong. They aren't mad at the guy for lying. They are infuriated with him for telling the truth. What is probably the most infuriating thing in this scenario for these people is that Jesus first got them to affirm Isaiah's words. Yes, good news to the poor. Yes, liberation for the oppressed. Yes. And then Jesus points out very specific ways the people have historically acted against their proclaimed values. And very quickly, the people go from, "Oh, that's Joseph's son, how cute," to, "This guy has got to go." Such is the case with all prophets who strike too close to the nerve, who tell too much of the truth, who trouble the status quo, who point out when proclaimed values don't match behavior and policy. Philip Berrigan has said that the poor tell us who we are, the prophets tell us who we could be, so we hide the poor and we kill our prophets. I would expand this by saying that the marginalized of society tell us who we are. The poor, the queer community, Black, Indigenous, people of color, people who have bodies that don't conform to what is quote-unquote normal. The systematically oppressed, the people who are excluded, these are the people who are the most in touch with the truth about the systems of our society. And very often it is out of these communities that come prophets who try to tell us there is another way. Turns out, one of the most threatening but necessary things is to actually engage in reality and tell the truth. Jesus offers the community at Nazareth the reality of their past, and he is rejected. Therefore, reenacting a long-standing pattern of a long-standing pattern of the demonizing of the truth-teller. The call of the prophet is a call to be uncomfortable. People don't like that. People don't like having to face their own failures or their insecurities. People don't want to confront the ways that they have benefited from a corrupt system. People are committed to things staying the same, to maintaining status, power, and privilege. It is much easier to pretend than it is to accept reality and accept the feelings that come with that reality. And so people protect themselves. They bully, they abuse, they gaslight, they kill. They remain completely apathetic to the social ills of our time. It is this tendency that continues to work itself out on prophets throughout history. We all learn about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but we only learn about the parts that are comfortable. Most people don't know that he also said, "A riot is the language of the unheard." And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than they are about justice and humanity. Most of us don't know that he also said, "I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate, who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice." We forget that he also said, "A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death." Dr. King was forever silenced for his truth-telling and the movement that he helped to create, as were people like Marsha P. Johnson, Fred Hampton, Malcolm X, JFK, Harvey Milk. The list goes on and on. Like Jesus, these prophets were all crucified in one form or another for telling the truth and for having the gall to suggest that we be better, that we do better. In 2019, some of Hawaii's top musicians collaborated to produce a version of Ku Ha'aheo e Ku'u Hawaii. And they did this to protest recent events at Mauna Kea. They sang, "The sea of Hawaii surges in turmoil. The earth of Haumea rumbles and shakes. The highest heavens shudder up above. Alas, woeful indeed are the heartless foreigners. Be honored always, O beloved descendants of the land. Let us wear the honored a'ali'i of our beloved land. Paddle on in our pursuit of civil justice until our dignity and independence is restored." Events at Mauna Kea are certainly not the only reality that this song protests. Mauna Kea is yet another offense atop a long list of offenses. It is linked to the history of this land, the history of the ancestral prophets of this land who resisted, who died, and who were overthrown. Their homeland literally taken. A prophet is never welcome in his hometown. We are still missing and dismissing the words and songs of the prophets in our world today. The prophets are singing. Do we get up and walk out because we don't want to hear it? My ardent hope for our world is that we break the cycle of silencing the prophets and instead join their song. May it be so. Let us pray. We recognize that there are ways that we have failed to co-conspire with our siblings in order to work for the good of others and the good of self. For this, we ask forgiveness, that we might breathe in our guilt, breathe out our guilt, dust ourselves off, and try again. May we continue to awaken to ways that we can better love ourselves, love others, and love our planet. We remember and pray for our truth tellers, for theirs is a necessary and difficult work. We remember and pray for all of those who are experiencing change and transition. We ask for grace and courage. And now, as we pray as we have been taught, with the confidence of the children of God held in love and in grace, I invite you to use a name for God that feels right to you. This can be Father, Mother, Creator, Divine, or perhaps there is another name of your choosing. I invite you to use it now as we pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we come to this table that represents not only community and belonging, but also a long history of troubling the status quo, we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup. And when he had poured it out, he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you. And so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my love in the world." Children of God, the table is set for you. Take and eat. At this time, I invite you to prayerfully consider how you might contribute to the work and ministry of CCU. This might be gifts of service, gifts of time or energy. It might be lovely flowers like we have today. It might be monetary gifts. A link for flowers and for those monetary gifts are available for you to donate online. However you choose to contribute, you help CCU continue to do its work and ministry in the world, and we thank you for that. And now, please join us as we sing our doxology. Thank you. Amen. As our time of worship comes to a close, we do have a few announcements. The first is that we will be resuming in-person worship next Sunday, February 6th, at our usual time. We look forward to seeing you all then. We will also still be streaming live, so if you're not able to join us in person, we will be with you in spirit. Secondly, we want to thank Paul and Dottie Brennan for these beautiful flowers this morning. The arrangement is in gratitude for Medicare, which has provided them the ability to have physical therapists helping them in their home. So we rejoice with them as well for that. We also invite you to join us for Vespers on the Lanai. That will be Friday, February 11th at 7 p.m. For what I am sure will be a lovely time of music and fellowship. And final thing, please share your prayer concerns and ministry needs with us. You can send those to prayers at ccukailua.org. We want to pray with you. We want to be with you and support you in whatever way that we can. So please send those our way so that we know how to pray and support you. And now let us join our hearts and voices for a final time in our closing hymn.
Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. You know our fears and sadness, grace us with your peace and gladness. Spirit of all comfort, fill our hearts. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. In the pain and joy, is still unfolding. Give us all your vision, God of love. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our strength to love each other, every sister, every brother, Spirit of all kindness, be our guide. Healer of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. You know each thought and feeling, teach us all your way of healing. Spirit of compassion, fill each heart. Spirit of our every ill, light of each tomorrow, hope beyond our sorrow.
Before we part ways today, beloved community, I do have one final announcement that I did neglect to say a few moments ago, which is that annual giving statements have been emailed or mailed out, so keep your eye out for those. That will be helpful for you as April approaches. And with that, may the light of Christ dwell in you richly. May you feel the warmth of connection in knowing that as one body in Christ, we are united and we do not go alone. Go in the grace and peace of Christ.